Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, September 24th, 2015, and with me today, Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It goes.
That's so much better than it's stuck, which then usually involves a follow-up with, funny story. Anyhow, John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm here. Watch this.
Yeah, which then leads to an emergency room visit that starts with, well, funny story.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's just jump right in to the first thing I wanted to talk about, which is related to a piece that you wrote, Brian. You offered up your take on what's happening with streaming music. It's outselling physical music right now.
Yeah, for the first time. So the RIAA, that would be the same RIAA who pitched a fit over the iPod.
Very same, yep.
And pitched a fit over Apple's Rip Mix Burn.
Yep.
Commercial. That same organization, although with different leadership, since it was Heidi Roizen, right? Back in the day, wasn't that?
That sounds vaguely familiar, but so let's just go with that. Yes,
she has actually since moved on to other. Am I getting that name right? Boy, Top Men.
Indeed.
Top Men here. Anyway, whoever it was, that was someone else who was long gone from the RIAA, and they released a report for the first half of 2015 that basically broke down the recording industry's revenue breakdowns, and one of the bits that was included in there was the fact that streaming music outsold physical media for the very first time.
Wow.
So you get streaming music at 32%. You got physical media, which includes CDs and vinyl. Those revenues were down 16%, although LOL vinyl was up 52%. They didn't actually specifically break down cassettes, but I know that there are hipsters who like cassettes because they're...
They totally dig to have their music sound bad.
Yeah, just sound absolutely awful. Just
good old tape noise.
Really, really offends me, but whatever. And then permanent downloads are at 40%. So iTunes and Amazon's, the online store, Google Play, all the various online stores that are out there still represent the largest segment of music revenues at 40%.
But streaming is clearly on the rise.
Streaming is on the rise, and the increase in streaming revenues made up for declines elsewhere. As a matter of fact, the revenues for the first half were at up 0.8%, which, when we talk about the music industry being kind of in decline, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, it's not a huge increase, mind you.
But it is an increase.
It is an increase.
I have a theory about what's causing this.
Okay.
I have noticed a serious upgrade in Comcast network over the past few years. And I moved into this house 10 years ago. It was a struggle to get 6 megabits per second on a cable modem. And then a few years later, they upgraded us to 12. I got a notice in 2014 that all I had to do was reboot my cable modem, and I was at 50. And I saw a note the other day that Comcast was going to upgrade its basic service from 50 to 75 megabits per second. That's assuming that you're in a neighborhood that supports it, has the infrastructure. And I'm aware that there are a lot of people in the rural areas, but we're kind of rural too out here in the country too, but we have good Comcast service. And I think that's that significant upgrade of Comcast network to deal with all this streaming is really propelling the streaming downloads, making
John,
it feasible.
John, actually, most streaming, I think, is going through mobile devices.
Well, that too. The carriers are upgrading their networks substantially too.
That's so. You know, I hadn't even thought about what devices were streaming the music. I was just thinking of as a whole thing. But
I was thinking about streaming into the home.
Yeah, but Brian, you saying that most of the streaming or the majority of the streaming is coming from mobile devices. As you say it, it suddenly seems very obvious because that's the device everyone has with them all the time. Their iPhone, their Android phone, whatever. And most people that I know do most of their music listening on their mobile device. So of course streaming is going to be a big thing on mobile devices.
See, back in January, Spotify flipped over to 52% of their listening being on mobile devices, for instance. Well, yeah, I believe that right now the most streaming is.
Was there a breakdown between streaming music and streaming movies and television? Because my take is that the streaming to mobile devices is mostly music with a smattering of video.
Yeah, we're talking about music here.
Yeah, okay.
In the meanwhile, this was the first half of 2015, right? And Apple Music didn't get launched until the last day of the first half of 2015.
So this data doesn't include Apple Music?
Well, it may actually include a little bit because Apple is paying royalties for streaming. And certainly there were a lot of people on that very first day who signed up. So yeah, probably the tiniest bit came from Apple, but it's going to be just that, the tiniest bit. And like, you know, mostly pedantic.
Yeah, well, this is why I love you, Brian, that mostly pedantic part of you. All right, so it'll be interesting to see what the numbers look like for the second half of the year when we do have Apple Music and to see if that has any significant impact on these numbers.
It wouldn't surprise me if streaming, certainly by next year, and certainly by the second half of next year, if the RIA is going to continue to do these half year reports, but streaming is going to overtake permanent downloads very fast.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I have found that for me, historically, streaming wasn't something that I could really get into long term. But with Apple Music out, for whatever reason, Apple has the right mix to hook me. And I'm going to be paying for Apple Music after next week, because that's when my 3-month trial ends. And I'm wondering how many other people are out there like me who just couldn't find a streaming music service that really clicked for them until Apple Music came along.
Yeah, fair. Just Apple raises awareness.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I bet you're right. Because Apple Music is here, that means there would be more people joining Spotify and Pandora too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, kind of funny that the music industry was flipping out for so long about digital music, and Apple was saying, look, this is what's going to save you. And here it is. It sure looks like Apple was right.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, another thing that I want to take a look at today is, well, I want to go back to the whole Xcode Ghost thing. Because we have some more info about Xcode Ghost. And the quick overview is Xcode Ghost is malware that ended up in many popular iOS apps that were being written in China. And these apps made it onto the App Store before Apple realized that there was a problem and then has since pulled them. Now, the malware, it's called Xcode Ghost. And the way it got into these apps wasn't because developers were intentionally doing it, but because they had installed copies of Xcode that they got from servers that weren't Apple's, and someone had put this code into Xcode, so whenever someone compiled an app, it compiled it with malware. And so that's the backstory. So this is all stuff that was coming out of China, and Apple now has an FAQ out. And the thing that stood out to me in the FAQ, it answered one of the questions that I had earlier, which is, how, if we have Gatekeeper did something like this, get past that, and put developers in a position where they could actually be installing malware without their knowledge. And Apple gave us an answer. The developers had to intentionally disable Gatekeeper to install these bogus copies of Xcode.
Wow.
And on one hand, I look at this and I think, wow, what a horrible thing to do, and what a irresponsible thing to do. But I have to temper that with the fact that this was happening in China. And we're talking about legit developers that are having to deal with trying to do a really big download from Apple servers in the United States through the Great Firewall of China, which means that performance is degraded markedly. So something that downloads in minutes in the United States is going to take much longer, potentially hours in China.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Do we need to talk about how to get the Gatekeeper? It's your Mac, System Preferences. On the top row, it's Security and Privacy. It's the General tab on the left. And if you look down at the bottom, you'll see Allow Apps Downloaded From, and then there's some radio buttons. And you should have at least the middle one checked or selected.
And what is that middle one labeled?
It says Mac App Store and Verified Developers.
All right, there you go. And so what these developers in China were doing was disabling Gatekeeper so that anything could run.
All right, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead and jump in.
This is all well and good. Yes, these idiot developers went and got a counterfeit version of Xcode. They're looking for a shortcut, and shortcuts almost never work. And it turns out that they had to specifically do something to even allow themselves to do this shortcut, and it's all their fault. But
I know
Apple
right where
didn't
you're
catch
going.
This stuff.
Exactly.
And how is why is Apple not talking about how it is that Apple missed this? I mean, this is the whole point of the walled garden. This is why we put up with the walled garden. Right, the walled garden is great from the standpoint of protecting us. It offers us a lot of protections, and but it also keeps us from having access to some stuff that we might want. So yes. When Apple lets this happen, it's a huge problem, and Apple needs to be talking about how they let this happen, not pointing fingers at the developers, the idiot developers. Don't get me wrong; these guys are all a bunch of idiots. This was a poor choice. They should know. They should know that especially in their country, that a pirated version of something sitting somewhere else other than where it should be with Apple is probably going to be bad news. They should know this. But
yes,
Apple
should
have caught it.
I agree completely. There's no excuse for these malware laden apps to have gotten through Apple's screening process and onto the App Store. There's no excuse for that at all.
Brian, I kind of disagree with you about Apple opening up a discussion on this. You know, it's Apple's way to just say, okay, we're going to fix the problem. And I think it's all part of Apple's growth as a global company and tremendous revenues and popularity that this just wasn't on their bandwidth before. And now they've had to deal with it. And they're just going to fix it and move on, don't you think?
Well, they're not just fixing it, moving on. They're pointing fingers at the developers. That's my problem here.
Well, I mean, that
Apple
that
is talking about what the developers have done wrong. If they're going to talk about that, they also need to talk about what they did wrong and tell us how they're going to stop it from happening again.
Well, Brian, I disagree with you. I don't think Apple's going to open itself up for blame and discussion. They're just going to quietly fix the problem as they want to do. And then
how is this quietly fixing the problem? How is pointing fingers quietly fixing the problem?
It sends a warning to other developers.
Making excuses.
It's one thing to have a public discussion of Apple's weaknesses and screw ups. It's another thing to make developers more aware of what's going on, educate them.
Well, okay. So, John, my take on this is that the developers, and some of these were big time developers, were really stupid to do this. And I get why they were doing it, but it doesn't excuse it. And at the same time, I look at what Apple's doing, and it feels to me like Apple is throwing the developers under the bus. And it would be nice to hear more from Apple about exactly what they are doing to make sure that problems like this don't happen again, and that malware apps that should never have gone through the screening process successfully are not going to do that in the future.
Well, I will admit that Apple, doing great business in China, should have been aware of the fact that what we were talking about in the pre-show was that people have a hard time downloading stuff in China from outside China, and the bandwidth is restricted. And so Apple should have been aware of that. And along the way, they probably should have heard back from developers in China about the difficulties they had in downloading Xcode. And they probably ignored that for a while, thinking, well, it's not something we need to deal with right now. So yeah, Apple shares some of the blame, but they're surely not going to throw themselves on their sword in public.
No, and that's not the same thing. Saying Apple isn't going to do it is not the same thing as saying they should do it. And I agree with you, John, Apple's not going to do it. And I agree with you, Brian, Apple should. How's all that right, the walk in the fence on that one?
Well, this is part of Tim Cook's more open company. I think maybe there is room for that.
I would like to see Apple openly talking about how they're going to make sure this doesn't happen in the future. Because right now we have a trust issue. And my bigger trust issue isn't with the developers, it's with Apple. Because now I'm not sure anymore if the apps that I download really have been properly vetted.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So that's a call to action for you, Apple. Tell us what you're doing to make sure that this isn't a problem in the future. Yeah. Hey, and what I'd like to do is remind everyone that if you need to make purchases, you can help out Mac Observer by going to some links that we have for you. So let's say, for example, you need to go buy a new iPhone. What you can do is go to macobserver.com/Apple Store, and we have our own link that takes you into the Apple Store. You make your purchase. It doesn't cost you anything more, but we're going to get a little kickback from Apple for sending you their way. And then the money that we get from doing that goes to help make sure that we have our servers up and running, that we have articles online for you to read, and that we have podcasts for you to listen to every day. So please use those links and give us a little support. And we also have links that you'll be able to find through that URL where you can get to Amazon and a few other sites that we have deals with as well. So thank you for doing that in advance because, hey, we're all gear junkies. We all need to get new stuff. So we might as well all get a little something out of that.
It's true.
Yeah. And, hey, we're about out of time. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure, man.
It's always great to have you on the show. And John Martellaro, it's great to have you on the show as well.
My pleasure, too.
And listeners, it's always awesome to have you here. Thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.